From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Deb Slater, reading The Daughters of Luke McCall by Linda Sandifer. Now let's begin with The Daughters of Luke McCall. The Memoirs of Delaney McCall, June 1, 1920. My sisters and I have been called everything from horse thieves to whores, and a number of invidious things in between. But once, a long time ago, there was a man who referred to us as the finest ladies he'd ever known. Now, that was probably a wild stretch of his imagination, but if he wanted to believe that, it was all right by us. And I suppose we could act the part when we had a mind to, and the proper clothes. I think the most common description of the four of us was the daughters of Luke McCall. That said a lot in itself, and people got a right smart image of us in just those five words. We were proud of the description and took to introducing ourselves that way. It opened a lot of doors. It closed a few, too, but we were never once ashamed of it. No, we would have died to protect the man and the name. And we darn near did a time or two. The only thing we really objected to was the way some Eastern artist come West depicted us on those wanted posters. Heck, me and Brad and Hank and Andy might have been a bit rough around the edges, like diamonds in the raw. But even with Colt 44s in hand, we didn't look like men with long hair. No, both Mama and Daddy were too good-looking for us to turn out ugly. I guess we should have been thankful for that artist's unbecoming rendition of our faces. It saved our lives on more than one occasion. There were those who wanted us dead, of course, and those who wanted to protect us. There were those who wanted us for financial gain, and those who just wanted us. Yep, there were a few too many of those. But our allegiance was to each other, and to Daddy, and to a way of life that was slipping past us faster than the shadow of running Mustangs across those golden California hills. I tried hard to hold on to it, I can tell you that, but I was as helpless as a newborn calf in a Nevada snowstorm. Brett always told me I was just going to have to live with the change, but Hank didn't fault me for trying to hold on to the carefree days of our youth. No, Hank didn't fault me at all, because Hank understood me better than most. Delaney lifted pen from paper and flexed her hand. The arthritis was acting up today, probably a storm moving in off the ocean. It was always worse when the weather turned bad, or maybe she just liked to believe that it ached less at times than at others. Maybe that was why she had sat down and started writing her memoirs in the first place. By forcing herself to think of who she once had been, young and vital and beautiful, it compensated a little for what she had become, old and frail and wrinkled. That and a need not to just let her life disappear from the face of the earth when her time was up. And it would be up soon. She could feel the time slipping away in some inner part of her that went much deeper than her bones. It wasn't that her life had been anything out of the ordinary, at least in her opinion, except for that brief interlude when she and her sisters came upon that bend in the road. And in following it, their lives had changed forever. She wanted to go back. God, more than anything, she wanted to relive it. To get on Old Buck again and ride like the wind. She told the stories dozens of times, but the children and grandchildren never seemed to listen with more than half an ear. Funny how people only sought the future, never the past. They only sought the substance of their own lives and ignored all others. Maybe it was for them that she wrote, so that someday one or two of them might open up the journal and read it. And see things the way they'd been when she'd been a girl. There was some vanity involved, too. She hated being just an old woman in their eyes, because she was so much more. But mainly, she wanted to go back.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?